Hi, my name is Teal, and I'm your host for the SweatNet The Amazing Podcast, where we share stories of amazing women who live in our communities. My hope is that you will feel encouraged and inspired after listening to each episode. So when you hear the word change, where does your mind go right away? What are you thinking about? What is it that in your life you want to change? What do you want to do different? What do you see about yourself that you want to be different? Well, stay tuned to today's conversation because it's with my guest, Terry Reeves, and this is what she does. She empowers people with tools to make changes successfully. And today she's going to give us the four P's of the change process, something that we can actually apply to our lives right now to go after those changes that we want to make and become a better version of ourselves. So stay tuned for this great conversation with Terry Reeves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Welcome, Terry Reeves, my good friend, who's the owner of Empower Health America. Terry, I'm so glad to have you on the show today.
I could not be happier. Thank you so much for inviting me to be part of your fabulous podcast.
Oh, it's so fun to have you. Like, we always have such a good time and there's always good vibes flowing from both sides.
No doubt.
So I really want to just jump in and let's start with how you fell in love with fitness.
Oh my God, you got 19 hours. No. All right, I'll give you the cliff notes. I was a dancer at a very young age, very active and hyper, and just fell into taking dance lessons. And then I started getting fascinated with running track. And then I loved gymnastics. And then I liked cheerleading. And then I realized as a young kid, I guess maybe I realized when I was older that I was a little high strung. And so fitness was a really great way for me to ground myself. And I think my love of just movement, seal. And then I started getting involved in these aerobics competitions, like on a national level. And so I competed with my really good friend, Dale Duncan, and we won the silver medal in the United States. And that integrated the dance and the aerobics, because I did a lot of aerobics. I taught when I was in college. And then the love for gymnastics, and it kind of blended those three together. And that sort of launched my love of fitness. And I've somehow stayed involved in some sort of organized exercise since I was 16 years old. And I've been teaching since I was 16 years old and somehow have been able to align that with my lifestyle because I love it. And then it has kind of morphed into a career path as well. Not straight line fitness, but it's evolved a little bit. So it's smack dab in the middle of my life's bullseye. And I love it and glad I found it at a young age.
Well, I have to tell this to everyone. I've seen the clip of the video going back to when you did aerobic competitions. Y'all, she's amazing, but it was so fun because I remember seeing those competitions and I remember that was kind of an introduction before fitness competitions. And it's so cool that you were part of that. Like, I've had the best time like reminiscing with you about it and then actually seeing the video. So I might have to have Terry post the link so everybody can go watch it because it's freaking awesome.
That would be funny. Well, it sort of launched right around when Arnold Schwarzenegger and George Bush Sr. were starting that America's Physical Fitness Day. And so Dale and I actually went to the White House and performed the routine on the White House lawn. And I met a ton of other, well, they were way more famous than I was. So I was sort of starstruck, but I had a fantastic time. And fitness has just opened a lot of unique doors for me. And it's, of course, the portal to your own personal health and well-being. So I'm just glad it's a big part of my life.
Well, I love that. And I love like your history with it and like how far it goes back to when you were 16 and like how it has, like you have such an extensive career and broad. Like it's, I mean, you had a kickboxing video, right?
I did three kickboxing videos and a boxing video with Sugar Ray Leonard way back in the day. And I had a whole martial arts phase with my fitness journey, a step aerobics phase, a low and high impact phase, carpet over concrete, and it's raining men, hallelujah, with Jane Fonda might be around the time I started. So yes, I'm a fitness aficionado.
Like, that's what I love about this. Because I was so, every time we talk, I'm like, tell me another story. what else have you done that I don't know? Like, that's so cool. So this really leads, now that you've kind of talked about your history with fitness and how it's evolved, when did yoga come into play? Like, when did you transition from like all this high intensity to now you're slowing things down and diving into yoga?
So, my first blush with yoga was when I was about 27, and it was at a conference in New York City at the Marriott in Times Square. And I was laying still and I thought I was going to crawl out of my skin. So I didn't dive real deep my first experience with yoga. I paused for about 10 years. About 20 years ago, Grace Morales, who opened the first power yoga studio here in Charlotte, North Carolina, knew I was a big fitness person and teaching at the Y. And she said, I think you'd love yoga. I was going through a divorce seal and was pretty stressed. And she said, Terry, I think it'll be good for you mentally and physically. So I started practicing with her at her home, and she launched her studio about a year later. So I started teaching for her the first week the studio opened. And I'm proud to say it's what, 22 years later, roughly, and I'm still teaching. It's my side hustle. It definitely does not pay the bills, but it feeds my soul. And yoga's introduced me to a whole nother realm of the importance of mental and emotional well-being. And it's allowed me to slow down and get really connected and more aware and awake of the things that are important to me, where I might be in or out of balance, just the breath work alone. And this invitation to really be present in the moment has opened up this world where it started to about 20 years ago that has just broadened for me in terms of looking at health and well-being in a much more holistic manner. And, you know, you can do some cardio yoga. So it's not like I've, you know, dialed it back a notch. It's pretty hard. If you're going hard, fast, and it's hot in the room, you're going to get a workout. And, you know, I still bike and I do a little bit of running. So fitness has not completely shifted from high impact to low impact, because I think both are really healthy for the body. But the yoga path has certainly been the one that's broadened and where I've spent more time and energy in my personal teaching, but also what I enjoy doing as just a normal human being that wants to take care of themselves.
Well, and I feel like that all of this, you know, with yoga and with well-being, it's now really carried you into your career. And so what does that look like? And how have you integrated fitness kind of in with that?
So I've always done some type of exercise as a little kid growing up, movement, right? And then I started teaching organized exercise classes when I was 16. And I think I made this shift in my 30s because I started to look more into behavioral health and emotional well-being and really realized that my focus was a bit what I would say myopic when I thought about my own health. It definitely landed in the lane of fitness. And what I realize now is that fitness is a big part of that, but I need to rest. I need to eat healthy. I need to move my body. I need to maintain my body. I need to practice good life balance. I need to be very aware of what's going on with me emotionally and, you know, also spiritually, mentally. So all of the things that help us take a more holistic view. And it really did help launch my path to what I'm doing now. It started with Energy Quest Future Fitness, and then I evolved to Wellness Coalition America. And 7 years ago, I launched Empower Health America. And I have a consulting firm that goes into organizations and helps them create healthier cultures. Finishing my Master of Science in Organization Development, it is right around the corner from Queen's University, and I can't wait. It's just been an amazing opportunity to learn and grow and build really my toolkit in terms of helping organizations, what I call institutionalized change. And because I'm so interested in health and well-being, a lot of my focus has been in and around how we can create a healthier workforce, mitigate risk, help leaders and employees become healthier and happier, not just at work, but also at home, because we're the same person. And especially with the pandemic now and all the shifts that have occurred, how do you help people regulate through stress? How do you help them adapt to change? And then what are the physical, mental, and emotional things that you can do to really help someone take better care of themselves? So that philosophy started really young, and I think it just keeps evolving. As I get older, I keep looking at, okay, I need to not be so narrow in my focus in terms of how I would call it my mental construct around, you know, fitness or health. And so I feel personally healthier. I feel like I can really help people broaden their perspectives. And the change process is interesting. In consulting or OD work, it's a beautiful thing because you're looking at the organization as a whole. You're looking at the team dynamic that makes up the organization. And then you're also helping individuals change. So my work is two-sided. I deal a lot with corporate America and their employees and teams. And then I also take those same tools and I do a lot of executive and personal coaching as well. And I call it Train for Life Empowerment Coaching because I feel like people have to be empowered to create their own vision. I'm just there to sort of help shepherd that journey. So I've been able to cultivate what I would call a direct or consumer path where I could coach somebody like you, Seal, for example. And that just, again, feeds my soul. I feel like I never want to get removed from actually interfacing with people because I learn so much. And it is just such a great thing to witness someone transforming. And I love it. Of course, you know, I do retreats and workshops with Suzanne and yoga stuff there and the mindfulness stuff, but it all intersects, right? It's all this holistic way of providing guidance really so that people can move through the change process and change the things that they want to, that they're ready to change, whether it's a company, a team or an individual or a group that you take on a retreat. So it's been a wild ride, but I got a good 20 years left in me. I mean, I hope then I have 30 more years that I can actually semi-retire, but I, you know me, I'm full of energy, but I also want to innovate and create and challenge the status quo and introduce not necessarily new concepts, but build on strong framework that's already out there to help people change and keep doing research around it so that we can keep giving people more information that makes it not necessarily change is not easy, right? But at least we're giving people more tools for them to work with.
I love this. And this whole conversation about change, and especially for the people who are listening, the women that are listening, we're all wanting to change at some point in our life, maybe addressing one thing. This particular audience might be more around the health and fitness. What could you share with us about the change process or about what you have created that can be very helpful to someone?
So, and I'm all, you know me, I'm all about the formula. Let's give people a process to, you know, a mental construct so that that makes the change process not so scary. So I'll kind of frame it up two ways. One is I did 10 years of research in and around what dimensions of people's lives affect their health and happiness. And after a lot of research, about 15 different dimensions surfaced. And some of them are almost sub dimensions underneath the big dimensions. But if you think about it, how can I in coaching help someone take a look at their mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being, and also their relationships with themselves and others? And you think about when people are motivated to change and they look outside, often that's a misdirected focus. It really needs to come back in. So this model that is holistic in nature has, I've trademarked it. It's called Ideal Being, because I feel like rather than well-being, somebody's going to tell me what I need to do. I really need to get clear on what that is for me. And then it becomes my ideal, not yours, not somebody else's, but it's mine. And then that's where I think that intrinsic motivation comes in. So if you're looking to try to change, how can I pause? And I call this the 4P process. And this is sort of that framework, if you will, to change is how can I, as a human being, pause, take time and do inventory of my life, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. And then how can that information inform me in terms of where I might be in or out of balance, or what may or may not be causing me stress? And in that awareness, because awareness is the first step towards intentional change. So it's only until you really understand where your life may be a bit challenged. And then you have to get really clear on why you want to change. And we use this word intrinsic motivation, but it's that deeper desire. It's like, I don't want to lose weight so I can get in those skinny jeans. I mean, that's sort of an external motivation. Not a bad one, but what may be in complement to that, and perhaps even more powerful, is I want to be healthy, happy, and whole for myself and my family. I want to be able to like get on the floor with my grandkids. I mean, that's when you start to get that to that heart-centric focus. And so I think that's the pause. And I think it's to process all of that. So if you think about the four P's, how can I pause and take inventory? How can I do a deeper dive and do more discovery and get more clarity through this processing? And then maybe what I wanted to achieve, I pivot, because that may not be ideally what I really want to do after I take the time. And guess what? Our life changes and we have to pivot. So what we might have as a goal this year might be different next year or before COVID. Now we're pivoting and having to adapt and change because the circumstances around us, the world, we can't control it, but we can control the way we respond or react to it. So that's the pivot. It's sort of an internal and an external. And then I really believe that taking that framework to pause, to process, to pivot, and to re-examine often and always, right?
Yes.
And then you can proceed with greater intention. And, you know, there's a lot of coaching philosophy in and around change. And I've been around several models, but I believe the change process is not linear. It is, you know, up and down and forward and backward. It's a commitment that you make to yourself, that you try to turn that desire into habit. And that habit becomes what defines your life. And it requires us to pay close attention to what's going on. And I love the fact that I've got such a strong background in health and fitness and the mental well-being, behavioral health, mindfulness, because all of those pieces interconnect and intersect with the change process in a very beautiful way. So it's sort of like an Eastern Western kind of combination. And that proceeding with greater intention is helping somebody see and have hope, and to give them the tools and support so that they gain this what I would call being empowered, right? But also the self-efficacy, the hope that you have the tools to get to your desired outcome. And so that framework, all of those things certainly help someone and a team. You can do group coaching as well. And you think about relapse, you think about just the stages of change. How do you help people navigate through those big disruptions and not to give up? And there are a lot of tools in and around that. I mean, SMART goals, I think, lack heart, but they still give you framework, be specific, make it measurable. I mean, all the things that you can do to put, again, more dimensions into the coaching so that the person has a greater probability to succeed. And with any coaching, you want that person to be empowered and gain their own tools so that you don't have to coach them for the rest of their lives, right? Kind of like fitness coaching. I mean, who in the world wants to have a personal trainer have to show up every day, or a personal trainer that wants to show up every day to get somebody motivated? We really want people to be intrinsically motivated so that they can start living their life without a coach, because coaching should be a short-term thing, or maybe not so good.
Well, and I think you go through seasons too, where the coaching may change, or your coaches may change. Like, there may be opportunity for that. But going back to this whole process, this change process that you have, and I've been fortunate enough to have had time with you, and I feel like you've coached me in so many ways, and this was part of it, was the change process. And I think a lot of times people will start out with something, but they don't really have, you know, the process in place to carry it out. Like, they want to change. I'm ready to change. Let's go. I'm going to do this. In week one, we're off the gate. We're ready to go. And then all of a sudden week two shows up and the motivation's gone and I've got nothing in place to keep me on track and to keep me, you know, to have that process so that I have something follow. So thank you for sharing that information. I know how inspired I am every time I'm around you. Like, our energy is great because your energy is always like incredible. And so how can somebody find you if they want to talk to you about coaching, whether it be for themselves or for their team or for their business? Like, how can they reach out to you?
Well, and first, let me just pause to use my word and say thank you for everything you just shared. And I you said something that I think is really worth. We all need help, Seal. Life is not easy, and we do go through seasons. And you and I might be smooth sailing for 3 years or a decade, and then all of a sudden, whammo! You know, my mom passed away a year and a half ago, and you just hit these walls, and you're like, I just need to not have to push the boulder up the hill by myself. And so, you know, whether you get a formal coach, it's just a plea for people to know that they don't have to go it alone. Reach out to your tribe, you know, find a friend that can help hold you accountable. Just don't get stuck, because sometimes that rumination of thought, we can land in a dark place and it's very difficult to get out. And you never want anybody to feel like they're hopeless. And so whether you can afford coaching or you want to get coached, definitely don't sit in that place by yourself. Reach out. There are ways that you can do that through church. There are ways that you can do that with your own family, you know, friends, counseling. So I just feel like that's an important message to send out. And that's having compassion and courage. There's nothing weak about wanting to be inspired and empowered and to ask for somebody to give you tools and support, because, you know, you go to school and you spend a lot of time getting educated on how to coach people. And this change process is complex. And so it's not like people are just born and they're like, oh, I can coach myself through everything. So the coaching can be very helpful, at least a jump start sometimes. And so for coaching, and I love doing it, it's a big part of my Empower Health America organization. And so you could reach out on empowerhealthamerica.com. That's my website. You could also call me. I don't want any creepers calling me though. Just kidding. It is kind of when you give your phone number out, but I, you know, I'm transparent that way. I'm like, if you want to call me, please do. 704-200-4459. And then my email address is treeves, R-E-E-V-E-S, at E-H-A, and actually I should say it like E-H-America, .com. And geez, I think that's email. I'm on Facebook. Train for Life on Instagram, Terry Reeves on Instagram, Facebook, Terry Reeves, Facebook, Train for Life. I have a blog and I do all this wellness stuff that I send out. So that's also, you can sign up for my blog on my newsletter. And I just love helping people. So if anybody wants me to send them some information, and not even my coaching, so not, I don't mean this as a hard sell, and it's not. I just have some helpful tools that I would be delighted to share with folks. And some of them are actually on my site and they're free. So feel free to go into the what's up the top, and then you can see my newsletter, and there's all kinds of articles and tools in there that people can kind of dig through and choose from.
Okay, so from the yoga side though, if I want to take yoga from you, where do I find you?
I'm so okay, so teach at Charlotte Yoga, and I love it. And Charlotte Yoga is here in Charlotte, North Carolina, because you might have listeners in California. You never know, Seal. And then I will shamelessly plug a retreat that Suzanne Bergen and I are doing November 13th, 14th, and 15th at a place called the Horseshoe Farm, and it's right outside of Hendersonville, North Carolina. It's North Carolina's best kept secret. So if you live anywhere close to Charlotte and you want to just get the heck out of Dodge and unplug, it's an 85-acre farm, perfect for social distancing. We just took 31 people in September, and we're taking a big group back with plenty of room to social distance in November. And that is also on my site. I have what's called individual services and opportunities in the upper hand nav bar, I guess, navigation bar. And you can click and it drop down and it says yoga retreats. So that is something that we do twice a year. And then Suzanne and I also are launching our second yoga certification at Charlotte Yoga in January. And I'm really excited about that. And yes, I do sleep. And yes, I do practice balance. I just have a lot of energy, and all these things really intersect. It's not like I'm jumping from one thing to the next. All of these things are all about holistic health and well-being, pausing and breathing, being intentional, the change process, really helping people to get inspired and empowered. So I've landed, I think, in what I call my passion place. And you and I talk about this a lot. I mean, to live on this planet and to know that you are doing something that you are meant to be doing, you get more energy the more you do it. And I feel so blessed, Seal, to do this work. And you and I have done some partnering, and it's just been such a blessing meeting you through, you know, the Carolina Breath Schwinn's Dancing with the Stars. I mean, just funny how intersections bring people together. So I hope that you and I get to do something really creative in 2021.
Oh, you know we will. You know we will. You know we can't not do that. We have to do something together.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, yes, I officially met you through Carolina Breast Friends and through Dancing with the Stars, but I remember watching you from afar because I knew who you were. I knew who you were in the community. I knew that you had been a part of the fitness world for a really long time. And I knew that there was a lot that I could glean from you, and it would make me better as a person, better in fitness, better just overall. And that you had an energy that I felt like, wow, like I feel like there's going to be like electricity as soon as I get around her. And sure enough, like the minute that we met, it was just like this instant connection. And so I love the stuff that we've partnered on with Two Scoops of Inspiration. And I can't wait for what we get to partner on next, because I know it's going to be not only going to be super fun because we always have such a good time, but it will be impactful and it will inspire other people. So I look forward to that. Don't know what we're going to do yet, but we're coming up with something.
See, it will be amazing.
Amazing. That's it. Well, before I let you go, I always love to do this with the guests, is give you an opportunity if there's something on your heart or anything else that you really feel led to share with the listeners.
You know, I think I'm just blessed, Seal, to know people like you and to have this heart that, I mean, I think sometimes we can get very me focused, and it's like, I want to be on the platform and I want to be the leader and I want to be the presenter. And I think the older I get, and I don't know that I ever was really like that, but I certainly know the older I get is I want to create great things with other amazing human beings. And I want to learn and grow and be challenged. And I want the vibration to be, you know, high, not just for me. That was my cat. So love it. Right. And so to be able to be in community, to do extraordinary things is, I think, how amazing things get created. Because I don't think anybody can create something entirely by themselves. And at the end of the day, it's way more fun. I mean, being in community and creating with other people and hearing other perspectives and other opinions. And, you know, I just think that if we could take that mindset as a country, as a human being, and think we all come from different walks of life, we all come from different backgrounds. And rather than look for the things that are only the same, because that's how we're going to pick our friends, look at the diversity, look at the things that are different, and do more discovery. Again, pause and really process how unique and different we all are, and be curious and look for bridges, and, you know, build your capacity to broaden your thinking and perspective by being more open-minded and perhaps reframing your own, you know, filters a little bit. And I just feel like it's in the world that we're living in right now, where there's so much division, that there's such an opportunity for us all to just take a minute and just know what we see is not always the truth. And it's important for us to question our own beliefs. It's important for us to inquire and learn from other people. And it's most important for us to find that common denominator and those things that we can work on together to build extraordinary things. And if you look long enough, I mean, that aggregated kind of synergistic working towards the same goals and outcomes, you can find that common ground. I just think people are in such a hurry to react or respond or be triggered. And that's where it goes back to the pause and process, maybe pivot your thinking and then proceed forward in community in a way that is more powerful. So I think that's probably, I hadn't really thought about the question. I know you sent it to me in advance, but I didn't think about it. I knew it was on there, but it is kind of, that's on my heart. And I think that's an important thing for us all to think about, how we can contribute and to work as a world together in harmony.
That's just a perfect way to put it. I mean, I think I'm such a community person. That's so my jam. And that's how I feel too. And I think when you open yourself up and embrace the differences, like, that's what creates the change, and that's how we progress forward together. So I thank you for saying that, because I think it's beautiful. Do you have a favorite quote? Because like, you're the quote queen. I'm just gonna tell everybody right now, you need a good quote, go to Terry Reeves. You can follow her on Instagram, you can go to her blog, she's got quotes. So I don't know what your favorite is, but I'd like to know right now, what's today?
I have two. So you can only create in your life what you can envision in your mind. I think that speaks to me on so many levels. And I'm going to go get my favorite quote because it's from my mother. She, when she was in the hospital, she and I talked a lot about just her life. And I asked her what her favorite quote was. And she said, "Life is not measured by the breaths you take, but by the moments that take your breath away." And I thought, amen to that. And it's a very mindfulness-based quote. And my mother had this unabashed joy for life. And she lived every moment as if it was her last. And she was so fully present. And she wasn't materialistic at all. She was really about celebrating the experiences and the moments in time that she spent with people she loved. And I thought, you know what? It really isn't about acquiring stuff or getting things or amassing or checking the to-do lists. It's really about standing on a mountaintop with somebody that you love, looking at the vastness and going, this moment has taken my breath away and I'm sharing it with an amazing person. And that always sticks with me, Seal. And I think since she passed, I think about that even more now and it keeps me grounded. When I get overly busy or overly concerned or overly anything, I'm like, Terry Reeves, you just need to pause and breathe. So
that's such a good reminder.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. That's just the perfect way to end this podcast. That's it. That's perfect. Well, I thank you so much for being on with me today and taking time to share. And there's not a doubt in my mind that this will not speak to someone out there needs this.
I sure hope so. That's what we do it for, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so thank you again for being on.
You're very welcome. See you, Miss Seal.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me today. If you like the podcast, please like and share this with other women in your life. You can find out more about SweatNet on sweatnet.com or follow them on Instagram at SweatNet and SweatNet Charlotte. You can follow me personally on Instagram at itsealsmart. Stay tuned for the next episode of the SweatNet Be Amazing podcast.